It was an American soldier named Jack Mullen who happened to be stationed overseas, and one of his jobs was monitoring German radio transmissions, and he would hear the Berlin Philharmonic playing at like 3 a.m, and he would think to himself, like, wow, is Hitler getting them to come in? And because before then, you know, if they broadcasted things that weren't live, it would be done on these discs that were very primitive sound. You hear pops and cracks and stuff, and they just weren't very good, whereas this sounded to him like it was live. So he ended up procuring some of that equipment, you know, after the war, bringing it back to the States, introducing it to people, most notably people who were running a company called Ampex, and they really took it and ran with it. Magnetic tape, aside from the sonic capabilities, was huge. In fact, I would say it was for the opposite reason. I mean, it made you able to record a sound that sounded more live, like Mullen discovered. But because you could edit, it took you in the opposite direction. It allowed for basically creating sound that had absolutely nothing to do with the original event because you could edit. And then, of course, some years later, multi-track recording comes along, and then it becomes even more about creating this artificial thing. So I really think of like magnetic recording, the magnetic tape in particular, as the moment that really busts things wide open, because all of a sudden the possibilities of sound just increase exponentially. And it was the moment where high fidelity, I think, reached its apex. But at the same time, it was the moment when high fidelity totally fell apart, because if you define high fidelity as capturing one single performance, magnetic tape meant that there didn't even have to be a performance to begin with.